Okay, sports fans, what's an Unterklätzl? How about a Puderplätzl or a Bankala? All of these are Yiddish street fighting terms from the 1920s. Eddie Portnoy teaches Yiddish at Rutgers University and specializes in studying the underbelly of Jewish culture. He recently kibitzed with reporter John Kalish.
Eddie Portnoy has been reading Yiddish daily newspapers from Warsaw on microfiche for the last 15 years. He started doing it when he was working on his doctoral dissertation about comic strips in the Yiddish press. During the hours and hours he spent scrolling through the three Yiddish dailies, Portnoy would roll to the Friday edition of the papers to read the comics. But he often got distracted by items that were published earlier in the week. That's how we came upon a column covering Warsaw's rabbinical courts, where a group of three rabbis settled domestic and business disputes using traditional Jewish law.
This was kind of like a Yiddish version of Jerry Springer. There are cases where all the furniture's broken, people smash chairs over each other's heads.
One case involved a Jewish man who married two Jewish women, only to be exposed by his own brother. When the rabbinical court issued its decision, it was time to rumble.
The rabbis determined that the man had to divorce both women. When the rabbis handed the man the judgment, finalizing the divorce, his brother ran over to him and punched him in the face. When that happened, the 30 women from the first wife's family jumped on the second wife and began to beat her mercilessly. The rabbinical court was filled with spasmodic wails. The rabbis ran out, got the Polish police, who came in and arrested everyone.
That wasn't the only kind of physical conflict Portnoy stumbled upon doing research into early 20th century Poland. He was surprised to find that religious Jews were fans of the Warsaw wrestling scene.
I stumbled across cartoons from the mid-1920s in the Warsaw Yiddish press that used wrestling as a metaphor. And I thought that's a weird metaphor to use. And my question was, what did Warsaw Jews know about wrestling in the mid-1920s? So I started to look in the back pages of these newspapers, and I started to find reports of the wrestling matches from the previous night and announcements of matches to come, you know, the fact that there were Jewish wrestlers involved. And I stopped working on my dissertation and focused entirely on wrestling for a whole semester and wound up writing an article about wrestling in Poland between the two world wars. I guess I'm a very distracted person, and when I do research, I always find things that are of interest for future use.
Portnoy recently made additional use of the material on wrestling in Poland in an exhibit he curated titled Yiddish Fight Club. It's currently on display at the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research in Manhattan. The exhibit also includes the stories of celebrated Jewish boxers, as well as a list of Yiddish street fighting terms compiled in 1925. Terms like dos lempel,
which is the little lamp, and that's when you squeeze the victim's nose with your forefinger and thumb, you make their nose red. If you're able to squeeze snot out through their nose, it's called die Lichterlach, or the little lights.
Kind of reminds you of the Three Stooges, doesn't it? Barna is the Yiddish term for a noogie. One Yiddish phrase translates literally to take out a mortgage on someone.
Arois nemen a mashkante af emitzen. That usually requires a few people. And it's just a situation where someone is held down and beaten. It's ultimately what the bank does to you when you take out a mortgage. They hold you down and beat you. All of this vocabulary developed because of Jewish street fighting. You know, there had to be terms in Yiddish created in order to explain these things. All languages have this. People just don't expect that Yiddish has these kind of phrases.
When he's not curating exhibits at the YIVO Institute, Portnoy teaches Yiddish at Rutgers University. At his home in Harlem, there are images of his favorite Jewish boxers and wrestlers. Portnoy is especially keen on a wrestler named Martin Levy. While we spoke, I glanced down at his desk and noticed there was a picture of Levy reproduced on Portnoy's iPhone case. The wrestler is wearing a unitard and has his arms extended as if he's about to pounce on an opponent.
He's a great character. And he's a tragic character.
Known as Blimp Levy, the Boston native weighed more than 600 pounds and was a major attraction on the wrestling circuit in the 1930s and 40s. That was more than a half century before WWE star Bill Goldberg proved that Jewish wrestler is not an oxymoron.
high school, he played football, but was removed from the team after falling on opposing players and breaking their legs.
Blimp Levy was working as a fat man at a circus when he was discovered by wrestling promoter Jack Pfeffer in the mid-1930s. Pfeffer approached pro wrestling as more of a theater art than a sport. He built up a stable of wrestlers with freakish physical traits and personas. The bug-eyed Levy fit in well. One New York newspaper described him as the most meat which ever stepped into a ring, but Blimp Levy was surprisingly nimble.
He hung up a tin can in the locker room about 5 or 6 feet off the ground and was able to jump up and kick it, and no one else could do it. So it was Blimp Levy's way of proving to the other wrestlers that he actually did have athletic ability. Blimp worked as a regular wrestler. He had lots of matches with lots of champions and great wrestlers and did relatively well. He wrestled all over the country and really all over the world.
By the mid-1940s, Blimp Levy's health was beginning to fail. The Connecticut State Athletic Commission revoked his license on the recommendation of physicians. Levy's career ended around 1950, and he died in an Alabama trailer park at the age of 56, weighing 900 pounds. Larger-than-life photos of Blimp Levy and other Jewish wrestlers and boxers have been reproduced on a 40-foot wall as part of the Yiddish Fight Club exhibit at the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research in Manhattan. The exhibit runs through the summer. For Only a Game, I'm John Kalish in New York.